The Jihlava Festival, which came to a close on Tuesday, is the biggest event of the year in Czech documentary film. In this report, Ian Willoughby speaks to some of the most interesting guests at the 2014 edition, including Godre Reggio, maker of the groundbreaking 1980s film Kojanitskatsi, main prize winner Martin Dušek, and young Czech-Vietnamese filmmaker Du Jan Duong.
Hlavní cena za nejlepší český dokumentární film v sekci Česká radost putuje k filmu K oblakům zlížíme, režiséra Martina Duška.
The top prize for best Czech documentary is handed out at the 18th Jihlava International Festival of Documentary Films. The winner, Into the Clouds We Gaze by Martin Dušek, who previously took the award twice with Andrej Provazník. Dušek's latest film captures an aimless generation of young people through its jobless protagonist Radia, a devotee of tuning, a scene in which souped-up, often inexpensive cars vie for attention at provincial gatherings. The director says geography is one reason Radia and his mates get into the tuning lifestyle.
The specific thing of car tuning in North Bohemia is the situation, is the location of this piece of land. It's on the borders with Germany, so the people are able to drag in some cheap cars from Germany and to customize them. So they really they cost nothing, and they can afford them, and they can somehow imprint themselves in the cars.
So it's kind of like a poor man's luxury.
Yeah, it's like imagine you have no money. It's for me, it's very easy to imagine that. But you still can afford, I don't know, let's say Alfa Romeo 156, which was like for €25,000 or more, and now you can buy it for €400, own it. It like brings them the possibility to take part at the mainstream society's luxury.
One of the best-received documentaries at this year's Jihlava was The Gospel According to Brabenec, a portrait of Vratislav Brabenec, longtime member of the Plastic People of the Universe and an important figure in Czechoslovakia's pre-1989 underground scene. It's the work of Miroslav Janek, who co-directed Citizen Havel, and in Jihlava also presented Olga, a tribute to Václav Havel's first wife. The filmmaker explains how the collaboration with Vratislav Brabenec came about.
Renata Kalenska, who is a newspaper person and friend of mine, she called me one day and she wrote a book in the past about Vraťa Brabenec, a book of interviews, which is also called Evangelium.
The Gospel According to Brabenec.
Yeah, and she said, let's make a film, you know, sort of following these interviews. And I said, well, how about Vraťa? He would like this kind of thing. And she said, yes. So we got together and we started working on it, you know.
Had you known him previously, and did you learn a lot about him during the process of making the film?
I learned a lot about him during the process of making of the film, because I didn't personally really know him, even though the really funny coincidence is that in 1979, for one day, I got together with him when we were shooting footage for an underground film with Václav Havel in it and Mela Hlavsa from Plastic People of the Universe. So I saw Vraťa Brabenec one day in 1979 and then in 2012 for the second time.
Lidi tam jsou úplně jiný, ty vole.
A trailer for Mat Gok, a short, stylized and very funny documentary in which Vietnamese Czech Dušan Duong and his brother visit Vietnam, a country with which many of their largely Czech-speaking generation feel little connection. Mat Gok is a term for Vietnamese who've lost contact with their roots. At times in the film, it isn't entirely clear just how well the director, who's 23, speaks his family's language.
I do speak Vietnamese, but I don't
talk much with my parents.
But you speak with your brother in Czech, according to the film at least?
Yes, I speak to my brother in Czech because it's easier and I can tell more.
And is it the case that most Vietnamese kids of your generation speak Czech together?
Yes, it's very common. I think it will be changed in next generations, but our generation is special in that our parents didn't have time for us, so...
Because they work often very long hours in shops.
Yes.
The film is called Mat Gok, and a Mat Gok is somebody who isn't true to their Vietnamese roots, who kind of goes Czech.
Yeah.
Would you say that most Vietnamese kids of your generation are Mat Goks?
They truly are, because, as I said, their parents didn't have time for them, which means they cannot have their roots because no one taught them.
Do a lot of kids from your kind of background assume Czech names? Do they have a kind of Czech name outside the home?
Yeah, because they're Czech families. Like, I had a, how is it, fake grandma.
So basically your parents were too busy, so you had a kind of Czech nanny.
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah, I had a Czech nanny, and my brother as well.
And what has been the reaction of, say, your parents or other members of the Vietnamese community who are older to your film?
I was kind of scared because I used a lot of rude words there, but they seem to like that because they see that I'm interested in the culture and in my community.
Though Jihlava is, of course, a film festival, at lunchtime on Sunday, around 24 people are sitting, listening intently to a radio documentary on large speakers. Earlier at the venue, a room by a busy cafe, Czech Radio's Jiří Slavčínský had presented his fascinating audio portrait of a dying fishing village in Newfoundland. And he says public listening events are the way to go.
Just after, when I was finishing this feature last summer in Grand Brit, so I wanted to kind of know if the dramaturgy and the storytelling, if it works. So I asked my friends in Newfoundland if they could listen to it, and I just like asked like 5 or 6 of my friends, and the following day like 30 of them appeared and they really liked it. It worked, so that was really great too. So I think that that's the way how to enjoy like radio features. That's the way how to bring them to people. It's really to organize this kind of social events, like listening events, because I think it has a great vibe to it.
What do you think of the idea of having radio documentaries at a film documentary festival?
I think it's just a great idea, and this is my first time here, so I really wasn't sure if there would be no one in the listening room or plenty of people, so and you can see that it works, like the room is full.
Music by Philip Glass from the groundbreaking 1982 film Kyanisqatsi by US director Godfrey Reggio. Reggio, who is 75, was the main guest at this year's Jihlava, receiving the festival's award for contribution to world cinema. As it drew to a close, he told me his overwhelming impression from the 6-day event had been the vitality of its young audiences.
I think having a festival like this in an old town where everything is in walking distance rather than in Praga, where there's so many things going on, it makes a great esprit de corps for those that come. And I've just been amazed at the vitality and interest, the energy. I'm an old guy, so when I see such energy, it pumps me up. So I've been very happy to be here.
Many of the audience members were born after your films were made. What have they been asking you about in particular when you've met them at masterclasses and elsewhere?
I've been mainly talking, and they've been listening. And I've been talking about what motivates my films. So the subject of technology. I've been talking about the form, which is not a story to be told, but one to behold. And I've been talking about the tempo of the films. Most of the questions have not been about how the films have been made, but about what the intentionality of the film was, what did you hope to accomplish, those kinds of questions. So it wasn't about how did you shoot this or that. In other festivals, that has been the main point of view. What kind of technology did you use, etc. But not here. It was more the if I can be so bold, the metaphysics of the motivation behind the film. So I was very moved by that. There's interest.
Kyanis-Katsi is at least in part about the speed of modern life. This is from the early 80s, though. Today, life is much faster. How do you view the fact that everyone's online, that life has sped up even more since those days?
I'm not surprised. I already knew at that time and actually before that we're on speed and rush hour outrunning the future. However, we get faster and faster and faster and faster. So in that sense, I feel most of us are off planet. We live in a world that is not the world that we're on, but a synthetic world that predates on the natural environment that we live. And everything is predicated on speed. In that sense, time has become completely relative to not human understanding of time, but the machine understanding of time. I think that started first with the clock in Europe and perhaps Asia, but it was industrialized in Europe. It was as impactful as the computer is today. It put us all into another zone.
Do you think we need to do something to take some steps to slow down, to get away from this constant internet and constantly being online and super busy?
Well, I have no answers to give, really. I would rather look at it this way. We live in a globalized world. We live in a world where there's one people, one way, one idea. For me, it's techno-fascistic. If one wanted to reclaim themselves, then maybe they could think of their world as their range of relationships, that you don't have to make a living, you can actually live. But that's very hard because everything is predicated on money. So it's a tragedy for me.
When Kyanis-Katsi came out, it was new, fresh. It was a new approach to filmmaking with time-lapse and so on. But now that seems to be very prevalent. For example, even in the American series Breaking Bad, they frequently use, for no apparent reason, time-lapse and they show a night passing. Do you feel that you have influenced film and TV in that way?
Well, certainly advertisement. You can't turn on a TV without seeing time-lapse photography. Certainly, I didn't do anything to invent time-lapse photography. It's as old as the camera itself, actually. Having said that, however, time-lapse photography or pixelation has always been used as a punctuation mark, as not as a main language or a meta-language, if I may use that word. What happened in Kyanis-Katsi is that in order to re-see that which was normal, we had to change the perspective. And of course, the motion camera is perfect for that because it deals in time, and time is the medium of the motion picture. So I was able, with my colleagues, to create a language out of time-lapse photography. Now, immediately after that, usually advertising it, well, first of all, advertising agencies usually suck up, like pull these young, bright people like out of their sockets with a big magnet called money. So they frequently get the brightest and the most articulate young people in their mediums. And those young people are looking not for what films are biggest at the box office. They're looking for new visual language to be able to export into what they're doing. And Kyanis-Katsi offered a lot of young people an approach to a visual language. If I hadn't done it, I am sure someone else, it was in the air, and it was only a question of time. And so this film, I'm sure many other people have been thinking or doing that kind of stuff, but this film remarkably broke out and got an audience and influenced people.